Love to Love, a program that brings you songs of love, from love, through love and to love by the students and devotees of Bhagwan.
Welcome, dear listeners, to this episode of Love to Love. I am Sai Prakash here, taking Chandu's place for today's episode. Offering my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, I welcome you all to the show once again. Since Love to Love has always been a musical feast, in the next hour and a half, I would like you to take you through a wonderful journey with music. You know, actually, a couple of years back, at about 9:30 p.m., I switched on the TV at home, and on one of my favorite channels, that is DD Bharati, a wonderful documentary was being aired. Now, this documentary was on the life of Ustad Bismillah Khan Sahab. Now, many of the listeners would know that Ustad Bismillah Khan is a wonderful, a world-renowned shehnai player. And he hailed from Varanasi, where he lived till the very end of his life. This documentary was amazing. And since I am involved in video editing, I was looking at all the aspects of this documentary. And it really impressed me because it was a very simple flow of visuals. And most of the visuals were black and white because possibly they would have recorded it way back in the 50s or 60s. And the flow of the documentary was very nice. But there was something that really caught my attention in the documentary. And I'll get to that in a minute. Ustad Bismillah Khan was a Muslim by birth and a true musician in a sense, because he was absolutely, absolutely egoless. And the twinkle in his eye is quite famous before he actually starts playing one of his melodious tunes. He was living in Varanasi, and every morning he would actually play the shehnai at the Balaji temple. And in the course of an interview, when the person asked Ustad Bismillah Khan Sahab, he said, "See, wherever I am in the world, I think only of India. And wherever I am in India, I think only of Varanasi. When I walk in the streets of Varanasi in the evening, from different houses, I hear different kinds of music. In one house, I hear somebody practicing Drupad. In the other house, I hear somebody practicing sitar. In the other house, I hear somebody practicing dance. I hear the sound of the anklets." And he says, "Wherever I am in India, I am drawn back to Varanasi." And this is a point to be noted, because a lot of offers came to Ustad Bismillah Khan Sahab that, "Please come and settle down abroad with your family. We will take care of everything. You can come and teach music there." But he stuck to India, and that speaks volumes of what he treated his music as. It is not just a profession. It was something greater than a profession. It was something very clear, near to his heart. So during the course of the interview, there was a question that was asked. So they asked him, "Ustad ji, where do you practice?" And with a lovely smile, he said, "Come, I'll take you there." So the entire crew with the person who is interviewing and the cameraman, they actually go to the Balaji temple. And it's an old Balaji temple, and there is a quadrangle, a very small quadrangle with a lot of weeds growing in the ground. But that quadrangle has got a small balcony overlooking it. And he takes them to that spot and he says, "This is the spot. For me, this spot is the holiest spot in the world." The interviewer was quite surprised, and he asked him, "Ustad ji, what is so special about this place?" He says, "This is the place where my uncles, my grandparents, all of them practiced the shehnai. Since it was a family tradition, this spot is where they actually practiced. And the years and years of sadhana and riyas that they have done have added special vibrations to this place. And he actually advises musicians at that point of time. He says, try to keep one location, one place where you sit and regularly practice. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this is for something that he actually said after this. He called the cameraman aside and he says, how can I explain to you what darshans we have had in this place? How can I explain to you what we have experienced sitting here and doing our practice? He says, can your cameras catch it? Can your cameras show the bliss that we have experienced here, the darshans we have had here? I mean, here is Ustad Bismillah Khan trying to tell us that his journey with music is not just as music as a profession, but it is something very, very deep for him, and it is a sadhana in a sense. His music was actually his sadhana to realize himself. I was thrilled when I heard this. Isn't it amazing? Now let us just listen to a small instrumental piece performed here at Patti by devotees from the United Kingdom. The reason I chose this piece is that it has as one of its instruments a very unique and less known instrument, the Tar Shanai. This instrument sounds like the Shanai which Ustad Bismillah Khan originally played, although it looks very different. Actually, you can, many of the listeners would be familiar with how the sitar looks. If you take the sitar and actually try to play it with a bow, then it's called Esraj. That's the instrument that's called Esraj. It exists as a separate instrument. And what they did was, in order to amplify the sound, they added a gramophone music box to the Esraj, which made it sound like a Shanai. And it was thus named Tar Shanai. So I will actually play a small piece. And I have left the introduction on in the piece so that you know the names of the performers. Please enjoy this small piece.
On the sitar, we have Sister Rupa Panesar. She is a disciple of Ustad Dharambir Singh Ji, MBE. On the santur, we have Brother Kaviraj. He is the son of the revered Guruji, Dharambir Singh Ji. On the Tar Shehnai, we have Brother Kirpal Singh Panesar. He is had the unique opportunity of being a disciple of the world-renowned Ustad Bismillah Khan. On the Tabla, we have Brother Gurden Singh Rayat, who started learning music at the age of 3 from his father, Ustad Harjinder Singh Rayat, and he is a disciple of Pandit Shankar Ghosh of the Farukhabad Gharana.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back, dear listeners. This was an abridged piece of a live performance performed here at Parthi. And as you all know, you can always go to Radio Sai website and see the entire concert. Now, Ustad Bismillah Khan was a musician and he did his spiritual sadhana with music. But one often wonders, what about the common man? It is a fact, and probably even proved scientifically, that listening to music calms the mind and refreshes us. When I think of music, bhajans of course come to my mind, because we sing them every day. But apart from that, I can never forget the soothing darshan music. I inquired from one of the senior professors here, who has been handling the sound system here in the mandir for many decades. He told that music for darshan started only from 1985. Before that, it was just the birds chirping and an occasional breeze. For those of you who may not be aware, I am talking of the days when the mandir was open and without any roof. There were so many trees all around, and it was much smaller at that time. Initially it was sand, and later the flooring was made with cement. You know, Swami would actually always walk barefoot. Sometimes it would be so hot and we all wished Swami would agree to wear sandals for darshan. But Swami always came for darshan in the sun and rain barefoot. The devotees also braved the sun and rain and sat for darshan. This most amazing relationship between Swami and his devotees is always so inspiring. Dear listeners, I want to take you all back to the early 90s, possibly in the year 1991 or 92. I was at that time in my 8th standard, and the whole sequence of events during a darshan, the music in the air, Swami moving amongst us, it is one of my most unforgettable experience. Even today, when I think of those scenes, when I listen to some music that would have been played during darshan, those scenes come back rushing to my memory and fill my heart with bliss. I'm sure many of you who have had the fortune of having Swami's darshan, it will always remain a most wonderful and beautiful experience. Now, I would like to transport you all back to a darshan session. Please relax and let your mind disappear. Let your hearts open as we close our eyes and experience the bliss of darshan. Let us imagine ourselves waiting for darshan on a hot late afternoon at about 4 p.m. The music I'll be playing was very often played during darshan, and Swami himself gave the first copy of this cassette to the professor handling the sound system. I'm sure most of you will relate to it. It is indeed very nostalgic. As the music plays, I will describe the darshan and hope you are able to actually see Swami giving darshan. Seated on the cement floor, blocking the rays of the late afternoon sun, with a book held over the face, we eagerly awaited Swami's darshan. Irrespective of how far or near each one was, all eyes were riveted to the handle of the interview room door. When will Swami open the door? Just then, the blessed moment would arrive. Swami would gently push the door handle down, even as our hands would rush to our hearts in salutation. 100 sunflowers would bloom, each craning to get the direct rays of this divine sun. Thank you. with the notes of lovely music wafting in the air, Swami would very gently glide towards the students on the veranda. Fresh and radiant, Swami would smile so tenderly. A group of students in the front row would kneel down, holding trays with toffees and yellow greens for a birthday blessing. Suddenly, the silence and discipline in the atmosphere would vanish, as Swami would pick up the toffees and throw it to all seated on the veranda. Both young and old would raise their hands and try to catch a toffee. Indeed, a very sweet moment. Tisko, he would say, and the students knew they could take Padanamaskar. How fortunate we are! What penance or merit can we ever claim to get to touch his lotus feet? Swami, 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 please! A small boy, probably from the 8th standard, would raise his book on which a photo would be placed for Swami to sign. Wait, wait, would be the general answer. Even this he would do with so much love, giving a pat on the boy's cheek. After this initial meeting with his students, Swami would turn and move towards the lady's side. Would walk down the slope of the veranda. The evening sun would light his hair in a miraculous way. Seated on the veranda, we could see a golden halo around his hair. How I always wished I could see it from the front. As Swami would gently glide towards the ladies, one could see the anxiety and pain, the stress and uncertainties vanish from the faces and filled with light and love instead. He would bend and collect their letters. He would materialize vibhuti and bless a mother and child. Oh, what a lovely sight! Now seated amongst the devotees are people from all walks of life, the rich and poor alike. For Sai sees only the heart. Swami, Swami, a mother with her little boy rose up with a simple slate and a piece of chalk. Most lovingly he bent forward and accepted the slate and on it drew the symbol Om. Behold his glorious form, walking this bare earth, all for love. Indeed, every darshan lord is truly love beyond duty. With a nostalgic fragrance that will forever linger in our souls. A divine experience that has cleansed lifetimes of faltering. The Lord moves on, bound by no duty but pure love. Slowly he crosses the center, looking down at the floor, making gestures in a language which even the gods can't understand. Seeing his splendorous form from a distance, I would always be wonderstruck at this point. Then, like a new wave, he would raise his face and look at the men with their set of problems and prayers, approaching them with a gait so gentle. Seeing the sickness in the eyes of a devotee, he would materialize vibhuti again and smear it on his forehead. He would speak to a few and console them. Then he would again throw toffees from another birthday tray. Different acts, so fast and yet so gentle, so busy yet so relaxed, so much variety, but all stemming from only love. As he would approach the patients on the wheelchair, he would pat them on their back and console them. An occasional few would have their problems completely cured. With a tap on the knees, he would make the lame walk. And with a smile and look, he would make the dumb speak aloud. Miracles and miracles we would witness, not realizing that Swami in our midst was the greatest of them all. Then again, towards the students he would turn, now his hands full of letters. At times he would signal for a student to take the letters inside, so that he could, from the rest of the students, collect more of them. Basking in his love, touching his lotus feet every day, oh what wonderful days! Even as the devotees chosen by him for an interview would joyfully move on to the veranda, he would speak to a few students and fill them with bliss. Slowly, he would reach the interview room door. Again, his hands filled with letters. He would then come out and stand at the door and beckon the devotees to go inside. The small boy would be craning his neck to see if he can catch Swami's eye. But will the Lord ever forget? As the devotees go inside, he would come down and ask for the book. The boy, with a sudden surge of joy, would proudly kneel down, and on the photo Swami would sign, "With love, Baba." Swami, everything of yours is with love alone. Pray fill our hearts with undying love for you. Let our eyes that have seen you see only good, and so with all our senses. And let us be happily merged in your consciousness, always. Dear listeners, there's a wonderful song sung by the renowned singer Kavita Krishnamurti in the album Darshan. Kavitaji has come here to Parthi and has performed in the Divine Presence a number of times. In this song, she says what Darshan means to her. Thank you. Wow, that was amazing. Music is indeed divine. Let us move on with our journey with music. Now, if you were to think about the origin of music, many say that it is from the Samaveda. The Samaveda consists of hymns that are sung rather than chanted. There's something very interesting if you think of it here. You know, if you ask somebody, when do you actually sing? When do you think of a happy tune? It is when you are happy. You know, when you are happy, you think of a light tune. You are filled with joy. If we think of Lord Krishna for that matter, you know, he is right now standing in the battlefield with Arjuna, and the war is about to commence, and Arjuna is in an absolute dilemma, but Lord Krishna is absolutely at ease, and he is always in bliss. And because he is always in bliss, he could sing the Bhagavad Gita, the celestial song. Now, Bhagavad Gita is a song which can be chanted, but I remember in our school days, in our primary school days, Swami would, you know, really encourage students to learn chapter 12 and chapter 2, few shlokas in chapter 2. That scene is so vivid in my memory, where Swami would come and stand in between the school's children and the institute boys on the veranda, with his hands locked behind, gently swaying to the chants of the Bhagavad Gita. We, as small children, would chant Bhagavad Gita full-throated. And oftentimes I wondered why we had to learn this Bhagavad Gita. But chapter 12 is so beautiful because it speaks of bhakti. And moreover, it speaks of what kind of qualities a devotee should have. What is the definition of bhakti? And what are the qualities that endear a devotee to the Lord? In a sense, that is a guideline for a lifetime. Now, moving on, we all know in India especially that music as such is a part of every event of our lives. Be it birth, be it marriage, be it any event, we have some form of the music, some form of music or the other. There is another very interesting way in which music is actually used. And that is to arouse patriotic feelings in the hearts of people. You know, this use of music, and you know, you have a lot of patriotic songs and you have padyams sung by Swami. In fact, here it would not be out of place to bring to notice that almost in every discourse, Swami would again and again harp on a patriotic fervor. He would again and again inspire the students to develop love for the country. Now, here I have with me, a small padyam. This padyam is Khanda Khandantara, which we have heard Swami himself singing on many occasions. But the track I'm going to play you here is from a drama which was held in 1998 by the students of Sri Satisa Institute of Higher Learning. As a part of the convocation, they had this convocation drama, and this particular padyam comes as a part of that drama. Please enjoy.
Khanda khandantara khyati narjinchina mahaniyulanuganna matrubhumi panditya sala prakhyati ganchiyu pratibha chupinchina Bharatabhumi Sangeeta Sahitya Shastriya Vidyalandu Dhi Shakti Chupina Divya Bhumi Chitra Kalala Toda Chitra Mayunatti Bharatabhumi Yandu Jananamundi భరత మాత ధర్మ భాగ్యం కాపాడా బాధ్యతంతయుమీది బాలులారా బాధ్యతంతయుమీదే భక్తులారా
Talking of patriotic songs, I think way back in 97 or 98, Swami had actually sent two poems to the hostel and had asked them to be taught to all the students. Later we got to know that these poems were composed by the great orator and politician, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee Ji, who later became the Prime Minister of India. For those who understand Hindi, these lines will fill your hearts with love for the nation, as it did to all of us when we learnt it. What I will play now is a small portion of that poem, which was again used for a drama.
Yah Matrubhumi Meri यह पितृभूमि मेरी पावन परम जागी मंजुल महात्य धारा पहले ही पहले देखा जिसने प्रभात प्यारा सुर लोक से भी अनुपमा ऋषियों ने जिसको गाया देवेश को जहां अवतार लेना भाया वह मातृभूमि मेरी वह पितृभूमि मेरी यह मातृभूमि मेरी
So dear listeners, that was the poem which Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee had written, and Swami had insisted that all students should learn it because that brings in such wonderful feelings. You know, in that he says, Surlok Sebi Anupam, more beautiful than heaven itself. Now moving on with our journey with music, see, we realize that over the ages there have been so many hymns sung in the praise of the Lord. But the Guru, for example, has a very special place in everyone's life. There are many shlokas written on the Guru. During every Guru Purnima, we had the golden opportunity to sit and sing the praise of the Guru in the immediate presence of the Divine Sadguru. Dear listeners, please listen now to a small portion of the Guru Stotram.
अखंड मंडलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरं तत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जन शरातया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः शाश्वतशान्तो व्योमातीतो निरञ्जनः तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः ज्ञानशक्ति समारूढः तत्त्वमाला विभूषिता भुक्तिमुक्ति प्रदाता च तस्मै श्री गुरवे अनेक जन्म संप्राप्त कर्म बंधयानिने आत्मज्ञान प्रदानेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः
Welcome back. This shloka really calms my mind and fills my heart with sublime reverence for the Guru. Just imagine singing this shloka in the immediate presence of Bhagwan. Sometimes he would stand with his hands tied behind him and gently sway to the chant. At other times he would be seated on his chair and then be lost in bliss when such a shloka is being sung. Indeed, how lucky we are to have Swami as our Guru and Sadguru. If you think of it, actually there are songs and there is padyams and shlokas and songs written for describing the Lord. Then you have songs that praise the Lord. There are songs that ask of the Lord. But there are also songs that are sung as a lullaby for the Lord. When you actually have the Lord in a human form, and I believe certain old devotees, when Swami was in the Patha Mandir, they would actually sing a song to put Swami to sleep. I mean, that was the kind of opportunity they had. But here I would like to present to you a song sung by Bharat Ratna M.S. Subbulakshmi in one of her concerts. The feeling with which she has rendered this is most amazing. Now this is a song, a lullaby, where she is putting the Lord to sleep.
Jo Achyutananda, Jo Jo Mukunda, Jo Achyutananda, Jo Jo Mukunda, Jo Achyutananda, Jo Jo Mukunda, Jo Achyutananda, Jo Jo रावे परमानंद राम गोविंद जो अच्युतानंद जो जो मुकुंद रावे परमानंद Sanand Jo Jo Mukunda Jo Jo Nandun Letanu Chere Nayamu Bhinda Nandun Letanu Chere Nayamu Bhinda చంద్రవదనలు నీకు సేవ చేయంగా నందు నిల్టను చేరే దయము వీరంగా చంద్రవదనలు నీకు సేవ చేయంగా అందము
So that was the wonderful rendition by Bharat Ratna M.S. Subbulakshmi. You know, even as we listen to the song, we can actually picturize Swami on the jhula and this song being sung. Swami wearing garlands and then reclining on the jhula, and as the song is being sung, Swami's jhula sways back and forth. Now moving on, there are many themes on which songs and hymns are written. As I already mentioned, there are songs that describe the Lord, there are songs that pray to the Lord. But on a theme like love, and especially when it is on love for God, thousands of songs have been written. This love, the pining to reach the Lord, is something very sweet. You know, there is a very, very beautiful episode from the life of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, where he discusses with one of his contemporaries on the nature of bhakti, on the nature of love. I'll come to that in a minute. But before we actually go on there, just to give a very beautiful twist to the entire program, I would like to play to you a song sung by the world famous singer Dana Gillespie. Actually, this song was sung in the year 2002, and I was a part of the group that was actually giving the background music for this song. Now, there are two reasons why I'm playing this song here. First is because it speaks of love and the nature of love. And the second is that this song was very dear to Swami. Actually, this happened in the year 2002, as I mentioned. And we were actually practicing with Dana Gillespie in one of the houses allotted to us. And Swami came and asked her, "How is the practice going on?" And she said, "Swami, boys are doing well and the songs are coming out well." Then Swami said, "But how can I hear to them? I want to hear to the practice sessions." And she said, "Swami, whenever you say, we will come and sing for you." Then Swami said, "Okay, tomorrow all of you bring all of them and come to the Purnachandra Hall." And I remember we went to the Purnachandra Hall and the shutters were just opened for us to enter. We sat on the stage and Swami came and sat there. And Swami was actually residing in the room upstairs in Purnachandra Hall at the time. So Swami came and sat. And we sang all the songs. In fact, Dana Gillespie sang. She was the only one singing. We were just accompanying her. And at the end of all the songs, Swami looked at her and asked her, "Can you sing that song again? That strange are the ways of love." Swami really liked this song. And I'm sure all the listeners will like it too.
Dead around you and the earth seems bare, that's when you find a flower growing there. And in those darkest moments when you feel alone, that's when that guiding hand comes to take you home. Strange are the ways of love, the ways of love. Strange are the ways of love, the ways of love. When you think you can't go on and you've had enough, look out, 'cause strange are the ways of love. When you feel your heart is empty, you're in deep despair, That's when the guiding light can enter and shine in there. And when the veil of illusion leaves you full of fear, that's when you hear that voice within you whisper, I am near. Strange are the ways of love, the ways of love. Strange are the ways of love, the ways of love. Oh, when you think you can't go on and you've had enough, look out the strange. To care, just remember God won't give you more than you can bear. And if you wonder, can He hear you when you say a prayer? Just show me where He's not, for He's everywhere. The ways of love, strange are the ways of love, the ways of love. When you think you can't go on and you've had enough, look down, 'cause strange are the ways of love.
Back, dear listeners, that was the song Strange Are the Ways of Love by Dana Gillespie. We often wonder how strange love is actually. Love may not be strange, but it is definitely madness. And when you're madly in love with the Lord, nothing else counts. Madness is love in itself. What then of love unlimited? Like that of our Lord's. Lord, I pine for your look. How strange a love is this. How can I love you and yet not seek to possess? Don't tell me that you are the Lord, and so I must only see you from afar and shed tears of joy. Please don't show me your face. I'm fine as long as I don't see it. But when I do, I want to see it for all time. Foolish indeed is the moth that flies straight into the flame. If you don't allow me to fly into you, maybe the flame in me will burn me anyways. Ah, the pain of love. Every moment of my life is numb, feelingless. There is an overwhelming spell, one that I can never cast off. You have to give me what I seek. There is no escape this time. Unto the wisdom of your will, I surrender myself. Getting back to this program, dear listeners, way back in 1993, when I was in my 10th standard, there was a wonderful drama put up by the students entitled Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Now, way back in 1993, the recording facilities might not have been very good. And obviously the songs I would actually want to play to you from the drama will not have a very good quality. But the songs are so moving and so full of bhakti, so full of love for the Lord, anyone could get swayed by them. Any heart would melt. So this drama actually starts off with the birth of Shri Krishna Chaitanya. From time to time, God, His chosen ones, does send to this earth to bring light and hope to a lost existence. When in His own true identity, man places the least faith, drawn and dragged along the whims of his senses. When in the pleasures of the ephemerant he passes time, and in its acquisition ignores his soul's cry. One such advent was that of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, a flame burning in Krishna consciousness, transforming hundreds upon hundreds, infusing them with the burning passion of divine love. Navdvip, the blessed place, a child unique and resplendent, much to everyone's delight Sachi Devi bore. A unique childhood he had, already swinging and singing the name of the Lord.
Narayan, 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 Narayan.
just sang the little Chaitanya. And as he moved around, in and around his home, there were many saints who came by. And he would be often lost in the chanting of the divine name. For hours on end, he would stand and be lost in a trance. Let's hear now the holy name of the Lord. Thus he spent his time lost in chanting the name of the Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, though young in age, performed many miraculous acts. His parents, realizing that it was time for him to get an official initiation, to put it, they approached the famous Ishwarapuri Acharya. Taking young Chaitanya into his hermitage, Sri Ishwarapuri whispered into his ears the holy name and initiated him thus.
Oh.
Thus, Krishna Chaitanya was initiated and he led a very pious life. He learnt all the forms of knowledge, all that the guru had to teach him in terms of grammar, in terms of language, in terms of Tarka Shastra. And he got to be known. He became famous as a renowned scholar in the entire Bengal area. Now there were other scholars, Sarvabhauma for example, who was already very famous there. And obviously there was some kind of a jealousy. And Sarvabhauma, who is much more senior to Nimai, as he was called then, came and challenged Nimai. Now in the drama as they portrayed it, it was a very beautiful scene where you have a host of scholars standing and the scholar is actually reeling out his poetry and panditiyam, as we would put it, and the disciples around him were all extolling him. They're saying, wow, what a composition, wow, what scholarliness, what a great Vidwan you are. Then right at that moment, Nimai walks in and Sarvabhauma looks at him and throws a challenge. Folding his hands, Nimai at that point of time prays to Mother Saraswati and requests her to sing through him. And the song that he sings, composes on the spot, is something really worth hearing.
Suvaksho jakumbha Suvaksho jakumbha Sudhapurna kumbha Prasadavalamba Prapunyavalamba Sadasendu bimba Sadanushta bimba Bhaje Sharadamba Ajasram Madamba Susimanta Veni Drishani Jiteni Ramati Ravani Namadvajrapani Sudhamantarasya Muda Chintyaveni Bhaje Sharadamba Ajasram Madamba Bhaje Sharadamba Ajasram Madamba Purange Turange Mrugendre Khagendre Purange Turange Mrugendre Khagendre Marale Madebhe Mahokshe Dhirudha Mahatyam Navamyam Sadasamarupam Bhaje Sharadambam Ajasram Madambam Bhaje Sharadambam Ajasram Madambam Bhaje Sharadambam Ajasram Madambam.
So that was the song that Nimai sang on the spot, and obviously it stunned all the scholars. Now moving on in the story, Sri Krishna Chaitanya moved and met one very famous saint named Ramananda Rai. Now the conversation between Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai has been documented very beautifully in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the biography of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, written in Bengali and Sanskrit originally. The whole discussion is very interesting because they meet each other on the banks of Godavari, but late in the evening they sit down to exchange notes on love for the divine. So Krishna Chaitanya is looking into the eyes of Ramananda Rai and asks him, what is love for the divine? How do you define love for God? And Ramananda says, you have to do your duty, you have to do your dharma properly. And the moment you do your dharma properly, you will be dear to the Lord. Krishna Chaitanya listens to this and then he says, yes, that's good. But is there something higher? Is there something that is higher than just doing your duty? Then he says, yes, there is. Do all the work and offer it to God. So then Krishna Chaitanya says, yes, that is higher. But then there should be something higher than that. Then he says, do your actions and offer the fruits to the Lord. Do not expect anything in return. Nishkama karma, as Swami often says. Chaitanya understood that as well. But he says, I want something that is deeper, that is higher than this, that is more intense in love for Lord Krishna. Then Ramananda Rai says, think of the love and devotion that a parent has towards the Lord, like how Mother Yashoda or Mother Ishwaramma, for that example, the love that they had towards the Lord, that is definitely higher than this. He says, yes, that's higher. But is there something beyond that? Then he says, servitude. When you serve the Lord with your heart and you surrender to Him, that is a higher form of love and devotion. And at this point, Krishna Chaitanya says, I really want something higher than that. And Ramananda Rai at that point says, he falls at the feet of Krishna Chaitanya and says, there is no one in the world who has asked for a step higher than this. But there is one form of love, one form of devotion that is higher, and that is friendship with the Lord. That is Madhura Bhakti, as Swami would often say. And that is the kind of love and devotion the gopis had for Lord Krishna. That is the kind of love that Radha had for Krishna. Hearing these different modes of bhakti and feeling the intense love for Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya just cries out, O Lord, can I have your darshan?
अविनाशी तुम ही द्वार मिलन की प्यारी अतिया श्याम मिलन की प्यारी कटिफल बिचौरासी श्याम तुम्हारे द्वार पुकारो श्याम तुम्हारे द्वार पुकारो अखियां दर्श की प्यासी अखियां दर्श की प्यासी
If we pine intensely for the darshan of our Lord, can he ever escape? Dear listeners, the drama of course came to an end where Chaitanya actually goes to Puri and there he merges with the Lord. I think I have to take your leave at this point of time because the clock is indicating that my slot is up. But I would like to leave you with this wonderful thought that music is one of the easiest ways to think and meditate on the Lord. Every bhajan session, if we all pray to Him sincerely and we believe that Swami should show Himself to all of us, He has no choice but to show Himself to all of us. Thank you for your patient listening and see you next week.
Yeah.